You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
We've got the kids in the service, and we'll get them on their way to do Super Sundays today here briefly. But I just want to say, we have been in a series called Suit Up. Everyone say, Suit Up. And I've been enjoying this. I was a kids pastor for 8.5 years before becoming a lead pastor, where I get the privilege to speak to boring adults. Oh, just kidding. But I've taken the opportunity each week to have, someone's over here, oh, what? I was just kidding. But to use some props. And so we started off with the Belt of Truth, our WWJD belt, and we didn't have enough belts to give out to everybody, but we did give out our WWJD bracelets, and I'm curious, anyone in the house still wearing them? We got a few first service. I was swimming with this a couple weeks ago, and it actually came off while I was swimming. I felt it come off. I grabbed it. I was like, sweet. Put it in my jammers and put it back on later. And anyway, I know you want to like get that picture out of your mind, me and jammers, but sorry about that. But anyway, we started with the belt of truth. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and we talked about our bulletproof vest. This can go back to your dad, if you don't mind, after service. We borrowed this real bulletproof vest. Then we talked about the gospel shoes, the peace, and I ordered these off Amazon. And they said one size fits all, but they didn't fit my 14s. And so today, after service, if anyone's interested, these are yours for the taking. Otherwise, we're going to burn them. These are cheap, not real leather, no spikes in the bottom. Really, we're not a great example, but we talked about the shoes of peace. And then Pastor Bobby showed up without an illustration, without a prop. That's right. He's not here today. Let's see. He might be watching online. Boo. Come on. Come on. This, hey, if you didn't know, there's a microphone here. For if you're ever online, you can hear the congregation. So everyone, one, two, three. Oh. And so I made a shield in his honor. Pastor Bobby's at a wedding this weekend. And then we talked about my helmet of salvation, talked about my bike wreck. I've got a couple of those in my arsenal, and where I had a bike helmet that broke in 3 pieces, talked about that last week. And then today, and I'm getting somewhere with this, I promise, today I actually have 2 swords, and we're going to talk about these today. We'll get to those. But when I was thinking about the sword of the Spirit, I was reminded of my growing up in my kids' church days. We would do sword drills. Anybody heard of sword drills? Basically, what a sword drill is, you take your Bible, you sit down, you hold your Bible up, they yell out a verse. The first person to find it stands up, and you win a prize. And back in the day, this is my childhood Bible, you would get little stickers with those verses, and you'd plaster those on your Bible. And this is the Bible that I had growing up. Actually, this is the Bible, I've talked about this Bible before, where I put, I accepted Jesus as my Lord, or Jesus Christ as my Savior on November 12th, 1985. So anyway, my grandma led me to the Lord. I've shared that story before. But anyway, we call them sword drills. And I was like, you know what? Before we release the kids, we should do some sword drills. All of the verses that we're going to do, we're going to do 7 of them, are in the message today. But let's get those right out front. And so the way it works is, how many brought your Bible with you? You can hold it up, all right? Got some Bibles in the room. Your phone is fine if you can hold that up. Pull up your Bible app, and that will work. And so hold it up, all right? And the way it works is, we don't go until everyone's got your hand up. So even if you don't have a phone, you don't have a Bible, you just got to pretend. Just hold it up. Hold up. All right, good. We'll wait. For everyone, Biller, Thank you. We're not going until you're ready. All right, good. And this is how it works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Go. First person to get it, you stand up. Good. All right, Laura. And here we go. Let's say it together. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach what is true and makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrupts us or corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, you are disqualified. First of all, she was in first service, and so I would call that cheating. And but anyway, Laura, we're going to let you slide. You can't participate anymore. Swords up, everybody. Thank you for that token sword. All right. John 10:10, go. All right, first person to get it. You got to stand up, and then we'll read it together. John 10:10. Oh, so fast. You got John 10:10 for real? Wow. All right. Okay, I'm taking your word for it. Let's read it together. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. All right, swords up, everybody. Next one, Psalm 18, verse 30. Go! Psalm 18, verse 30. Who's going to be first? You got to stand up when you got it. All right in the back. You got it? All right, everyone, let's say it together. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promise proved true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. I love that. All right, swords up. Next one, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Go. It's right in Ephesians. Your bookmark should be there from reading it and rereading it. First person to stand. Thank you, right in the back. Okay, here we go. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And by the way, we've got prizes for all of you that are winning this. You just have to find them, and don't come and ask me where they are. All right, swords up. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Go! This is a big one. Are you serious? You got it already? All right, let's say it together. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And two more, you are disqualified. I should have said after you win one, you can't do it again. Swords up for the rest of you. Come on, indulge me. Come on. Here we go. Swords up. Here we go. Romans 10:17. You're going to love this one. Go. Romans 10:17. Thank you. Got to stand up, not just a hand up. Thank you. Go. There you go. Here we go. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the good news or the good word with Christ or about Christ. And last one, and we're going to end the service on this note too. Swords up. You haven't won one yet, Jamie. Maybe this one's for you. All right. John 1:1. Someone knows this by heart, maybe. You can stand up if you know it. Or if you find it, can't be you. Thank you, Sheila. All right, way to go. Let's read it together. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, give yourselves a hand. All right. And let's go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and dismiss the kids. And as the kids are dismissed, you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to honor God's word. We love you, kids. They're going back. They're going to be sugared up in a major way. Sorry about that. While the kids are leaving as well, I do want to say that next Sunday is Mother's Day. And I'm saying that not so much for the moms, but for the rest of us, okay? So don't forget, next Sunday is Bring Your Mom to Church Day. Everyone say, Bring Your Mom to Church. And so Mother's Day, and we are starting a new series next week. It's a family series. It's called As For Me and My House. It's going to go from Mother's Day to Father's Day. We're going to talk about mothers and fathers. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about raising kids. We're going to talk about all these things, and it's going to be really, really great. And so, anyway, but today we're finishing up our series on spiritual warfare, and we are in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's honor God's word. It says this, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. Everyone say, stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on, or we've been saying, suit up with every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the God or from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all times and on every occasion. Lord, we thank you for this series. Thank you as we bring it to a close that you're still speaking, you're still revealing, you're helping us to grow. And Lord, help us to put into practice all of these things that we've learned. And Lord, especially today, the sword of the Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Today, we get to talk about the sword of the Spirit. And just like last week, the last two of the body armors, these, like the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, there's a distinction. Instead of us putting these things on, we cannot put them on. The changes, it says to receive or to accept in the original language. So what that means is the sword of the Spirit cannot be created on our own. It cannot be manufactured by ourselves. And when you think of a sword, we automatically think offense, don't we? We're thinking offense, taking ground. But I just want to say that in the context of the where these body armor and even the sword, it says to stand firm three different times. It is the only offensive, but also we need to understand that the sword of the Spirit, depending which sword, and we'll talk about these in a second, even the sword was more of a defensive maneuver as well. And the sword of the Spirit was the Word of God, according to Paul. The Word of God. And in the Word of God is described in Greek in two different words. The first is logos. Some of you know this. It's the message of the Bible in its totality. If you hold up a copy of God's Word, you could say that's the logos, the Word of God. We see that word used in the language in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? We know that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 through, Hebrews 12, verse, I'm sorry, verse, chapter 4, verse 12, pardon me, talks about logos, the Word of God being like a two-edged sword, kind of like this sword here. But also in Scripture, the sword or the Word of God also could be described as rhema, which is the spoken Word of God or the sayings of God. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, where it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God there is the spoken Word of God, a rhema word, in other words. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, another example of the rhema word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God or the good news. So what that means is that it is not enough just to study and to know the Word. We must learn to speak the Word of God. And what essentially Paul is trying to describe is that the sword of the Spirit, his word. It is our spiritual weapon to stand firm. Yes, we're going to take ground. We're going to advance. But when we speak it, when we speak the word of God, it becomes like a sword in our hand. It is our spiritual weapon. Now, I want to give you a little visual here. On one side, I've got a physical sword that, if it's used properly, can wound the body. It's offensive. It's used in hand-to-hand combat. It can cause external harm or destruction and even death, and is associated many times with violence, conquest, or defense. On the other hand, I've got the Word of God, a spiritual sword. This sword pierces the heart. Hebrews 4:12, it divides soul and spirit. The Word of God doesn't cause physical harm. Instead, it convicts and corrects and heals and transforms. The Word of God exposes lies and confronts sin and brings freedom, not bondage. Can I get an amen? And remember, we read it just a minute ago. The enemy does not fight with flesh and blood, so the weapon that we need in spiritual warfare needs to go past the skin. Now, a physical sword can be held in human hand. It's limited by the strength of the person holding it, the skill of the person holding it, or the reach of the person. And once it's dropped or taken, you become defenseless with a sword like this. But a spiritual sword, it's empowered by the Holy Spirit himself. It's described as being alive, living and active. It reminds us, it teaches us, it empowers us. And it's not the eloquence of when we use it or how our volume of saying the word of God, it's about the truth applied in faith. On another point, we have a physical sword that might defend territory, protect a land or a position or even possessions. On the other hand, a spiritual sword advances the kingdom. It tears down strongholds. It proclaims truth. It sets captives free. The spiritual sword will build our faith. A rhema word pushes darkness back and establishes God's reign. And lastly, a physical sword needs to be sharpened by man. If it's neglected, it will dull or get rusty. It becomes ineffective. But a spiritual sword is sharpened by meditation and obedience. And the more time you spend with God's word, the more precise the rhema or the spoken word becomes. A neglected Bible is like going into war without a weapon. So, how do we use our spiritual weapon, God's word? And I was thinking about it this week, that there's got to be a clue that whoever designed it can tell us or show us or model for us how to use it. How do we use a spiritual weapon? We should look to the designer. And it reminded me of the story of the scrub daddy. How many have ever seen a scrub daddy? How many have ever used a scrub daddy? Okay, we got some users in the house. Well, scrub daddy was a Shark Tank initiative. The inventor, his name was Aaron Cross. And at first, he's standing before the sharks. You can watch the episode. You can Google it later. And they were not buying it even for a second. They're like, it's just a sponge. But what made the difference and worth investing into it was the demonstration of how to use the scrub daddy. So Aaron Cross, there, you can watch it. He says in front of the sharks, he says, the texture will change with the water temperature. Firm in cold water for scrubbing. Soft in warm water for wiping. And that beautiful smile, it's not just there to be cute. The mouth can clean utensils, and the eyes are for gripping with your fingers. And if you think it's a bunch of baloney, you can talk to them now, because now it's an over $1 million phenomenon. Scrub daddy. Next week, we're going to have scrub mommies here for everybody. Just kidding. You say, what's the point? Well, the inventor, the designer, demonstrated how to use it, and the Shark Tank people, they bought it, and now it's a worldwide, literally, phenomenon. The same is true with the Word of God. Who better to demonstrate how to use the Word of God than Jesus himself? Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Maybe you know the story, but before we get there, I do want to say, is there anyone that has never used a scrub daddy? Anyone in the house that you're saying, hey, I'm willing to take this and try this and give us a report next week on Mother's Day? You're willing to do that right here? All right. All right. Are you Anita or were you Cindy? Anita. I don't know. I can't tell you that part. I just met you.
Anita.
All right. And then Cindy, and I was A, and I was between them, B, Ben, and C. That's how I remember your names. Good. All right. Good. Well, it's all yours. Next week, we want a full report on how that's. Hey, I'm talking to you.
I'm sorry.
She's all excited. Next week, we want a full report. I'm just kidding. Just enjoy. And she can do it. I don't care. Do you want a shield of faith, too? I know it's your first time. This is Pastor Bobby. He's normally right here worshiping. Somebody take a picture quick and send that to Pastor Bobby. All right. That's good. So, Matthew chapter 4. Let's keep on track. The point was that Jesus, who invented or created the Word, he shows us how to use the Word when he was tempted. It says in the Bible that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the desert for 40 days to fast and to pray. He has no sustenance, no food, no water. That's a supernatural fast. There's a couple examples of those in Scripture. Jesus at this point is feeling, I'm sure, weak. And Satan comes just at this point to tempt Jesus. And I just want to say, Jesus was probably lonely, tired, and hungry. And we can see Satan's playbook, because that's when he comes after us with temptations as well. Am I right? But what Jesus does, he doesn't create a miracle. He doesn't argue or discuss with Satan. Jesus just uses the right sword. His spiritual weapon, the Word of God. And by the way, Satan came after Jesus. Jesus did not go looking for the devil. And we've said each week in this series, we don't go looking for the devil. He's going to come after us, especially as we take ground. But we don't go looking under every rock and around every corner for the enemy. But it shouldn't surprise us that when the devil showed up, no surprise that Jesus used the Word of God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. Let's read the second part of that together. Resist the devil and he will flee. Now, back to the Roman soldier that Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. He's in prison, looking at a Roman soldier for sure. We said there were two swords. One was tucked in this way. The other, depending, it could have been on his leg or on the belt of truth. Either way, there were two swords. The one sword was called the gladius. And Gladys, I told you in my message today, the gladius was more of the offensive, the double-edged sword, like in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, right? The two-edged sword. Cut into soul and spirit. And it was a powerful offensive weapon. It was powerful, and it's our spiritual weapon the Word of God is alive and active, but there was a second type of sword that the Roman soldier would have had that was called a pugio, which was used for close quarters, hand-to-hand combat. I heard that you're supposed to do it like this, so you punch and then cut. I don't know. And then come back for the stab. I'm not going to tell you who told me how to do that. But anyway, the pugio. And I just believe, after studying, that it's probably more likely that Paul was thinking about the pugio, not to go out attacking, but to stand your ground, to stand firm. That when there was spiritual deception, you need to stand firm. When there's temptation, you need to stand firm. When there's accusation in your life. Now, does it matter which one? Was it the gladius or the pugio? It probably doesn't. But in the context, we are called to stand firm. And that's the point. We are called to hold our ground. And when we do, and we use God's word, when we're deceived or tempted or accused, it is powerful. And there are four areas where we see the effect of God's word in our lives that are powerful. And we're going to hit these real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. Number one, the word of God is powerful in preaching. And I don't say that just because I'm the one up front preaching today. In fact, how many have ever heard me say, preaching, it's like the foolishness of preaching, that we pray that God would work through the foolishness of preaching. How many of you ever heard me say that? I say it quite often. And the idea, it's not about me or about anybody that's standing in the pulpit. What it is, the power comes when we keep it according to God's word. And when we use God's word in preaching, it's the spoken word of God, and it's like flinging swords at the crowd. And it even works online, flinging swords, and eventually one is bound to hit you. A scripture becomes alive, becomes significant to you. The foolishness of preaching. That's the first way that God uses. And I will say that Pastor Bobby, I know we're making fun of him today, he takes what happens on Sunday mornings very seriously. The songs that we sing, many of the songs are based on scripture or direct quotes right from scripture. And so we come together and we sing together and then we hear the word of God. It's like we are flinging swords all over the place and it makes the difference. It's powerful. The second is the word of God is powerful when we read it. And I would say when we read it systematically. We need to read all of the Gospels and all of the epistles and all of the Psalms and Proverbs. But how do you know? From Genesis to Revelation, it's the Word of God, the Logos, right? It's important to know it all. Quick question. If you know this, I want you to yell it out. Where were the three swords that Jesus used, the Word of God, to defeat the devil, it's being tempted in the wilderness? Where were those found? Anyone want to take a guess? Deuteronomy. Yes, sir. In Deuteronomy. You say, Deuteronomy? I can't stand reading Deuteronomy or Leviticus or some other of the smaller prophet books, right? Well, apparently Jesus had not only read these, he internalized them. And when Jesus was tempted, he spoke the word of God from Deuteronomy, all three swords there. When Jesus was in agony, he's on the cross, he spoke scripture from Isaiah. When Jesus was confronted, he spoke scripture over and over. He was our example that the word of God, we need to read it, we need to internalize it, and that leads me to the third. The word of God is powerful when we put it to memory. When you memorize God's word, and I know what some of you are thinking, yikes, that's hard work. That's for kids to do, right? And by the way, our kids are memorizing scripture this summer. Pastor Jamie said that they are. There's a scripture memory incentive through the summer. Your kids will be learning 20 brand new scriptures this summer. You're not going to want to miss it. And by the way, you can learn those right along with them. I was talking about it first service. The guy that I'm mentoring, he shared on Easter. Some of you guys remember Don, my bodyguard. He's not here today, but he gave me permission to talk about this. We talked about early on that the minimum expectation in regards to God's word was for him to use the Bible app, and there's a verse of the day. I said, just read one verse a day and just start there. And then a few weeks after, I said, all right, now it's time to memorize. And that's when he came back and we're shooting pool. And he's quoting Jeremiah 29:11. And we said it together that day, probably four or five times together. You say, why is it important to put it to memory? Why are we asking the kids to memorize? It's because when it's in your heart, when it's memorized, then it moves to the last thing. The word of God is powerful when we speak it. And unless you have memorized it, you cannot speak it. And so we declare scripture, sword, the rhema word of God. We can do it when we pray on Wednesday nights in prayer. We talk about often finding a scripture around what we're praying for. In fact, the verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, talked about the unlimited resources. We're in prayer, and we're praying about the expansion with Built to Thrive. And I read that, and I was like, oh, unlimited resources. We're going to tap into that. Lord, you are a God of unlimited resources. When you pray scripture, your prayers become that much more powerful. We also declare or speak temptation when we are tempted. We declare the word of God out loud. When we speak it, it becomes the rhema word. We can also declare it over others. We can speak God's word over our families, over our kids, over our spouses, over our neighbors, our coworkers, because what we're talking about here is the spoken word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. It is our spiritual weapon. It's the only spiritual weapon. I know that when I talked about the shoes of peace, I talked about that they had spikes in them, and not only was it intended to hold your ground, but then also to take ground so you can charge up a hill. And there's probably some truth to that. But as I studied this week and really understand what the Word of God is, I think there's only one spiritual weapon in our arsenal to take ground, to advance, and to hold. There's one, and its power is rooted in the Word of God. Now, there's an example of this in my life that I've been holding on to throughout this entire series. When I was a teenager, I went to a place, my family did, and we went several times to spiritual warfare camp. How many have ever heard of spiritual warfare camp? We've got a few people in the house, and I know, Laura, you've been to spiritual warfare camp. You said first service five times. And you're going to wonder why Laura's so awesome. It's because of this experience. I've got some pictures that will just scroll. What warfare camp is, it's like boot camp for Christian kids. And literally, we showed up, and it's hard to believe that they even allowed this, but it was like torture. When you got there, they'd rip you off your bus or out of your van, and they would line you up, and they would start yelling at you. No cuss words, but a lot of creative, derogatory words, and it was all about warfare. We had to be in line. We marched together. We did all kinds of activities. and there were generals and officers and lieutenants. And Jessica and I, we were talking about this yesterday, and she was like, I can't believe there hasn't been a documentary or some show exposing the harm of a camp like this. By the way, Michigan shut it down. I think there's still a warfare camp in Alabama. Not, you can't hold me to it, but I think so. But you say, okay, what was it all about? All week long, they were training us for spiritual warfare. And it all culminated at the end of the week with an event called the Warfare Trail. Everyone say, ooh. The Warfare Trail, before we let the slides go, let me just try to give you an idea. All week long, we're memorizing scripture. I mean, a lot of scripture that week was memorized. Because when you went through the Warfare Trail, there were officers that were hiding like little demons, literally. And they had paintball guns. And if we didn't identify them and come against them with scripture before they caught us, we were busted. So let's just roll some of these pictures from the Warfare Trail. You would go through these tight spots, and they would be hiding many times in camouflage, of course. And you would have to use the word of God to combat the enemy forces. And it freaked us out. And I will tell you, first service, there was someone here that went to warfare camp. And they're like, I had a little PTSD looking at those pictures. And so, but this was from a few years back. And so you say, well, what is this all about? The point was that you couldn't bring your Bible, physical, the Logos, and just point it at the demons or at the guys in hiding. You had to speak the word of God, and when you spoke the word of God, there was no defense. They could not attack you at that point. And that was the training. And Laura apparently went 5 times. My family loved it. When I was old enough, I went, and then I went back as a counselor, and that was a lot of fun as well, as a squad leader, and it was a great, great memory. And Laura, would you do it again? Yeah, she goes, I don't know. I kind of think of the same thing. I'm like, we didn't send our kids, but maybe we should have, Logan. I'm not sure. So anyway, but the point is the word of God. It's the word of God. We're called to suit up. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we bring this to a close. The truth is that a soldier fully armed, suited up, without a weapon, is not ready to fight. A soldier without a weapon is not able to stand their ground. And so my question to you today is, are you spiritually prepared to stand your ground? Or are you walking into battle without a sword? We're not going to ask you to show of hands, but my gut is that there are some here that you're like, yeah, I read God's word and I do my devotions, but there's something that changes when you're facing temptation or accusation to speak the word of God, and you're like, no, I don't really speak the word of God. There are others here that you're like, if I'm honest, I can't remember the last time I read God's word or did a devotion. And I will say, you don't have to go back, and like if you haven't eaten in a week, you don't eat enough food for a week, I would say start small. Take the verse of the day and read one verse a day and let that get inside of you. And try it. Try to memorize it. Because the truth is, we need to suit up. And a soldier with a full armory, the Logos, it's powerful. But unless he or she draws and wields a specific weapon, the Rhema word, they will not win the battle. You will not win. The way we win is by using the Word of God. And today, I can't challenge you enough to consider, say, all right, how can I make God's Word a priority in my life? And whether you have made it a priority in the past, or maybe you've fallen away, or maybe you never have, I'm going to encourage you. This is our weapon. This is the thing that will help us to defeat the enemy. I'm going to ask that you stand, and I'm going to pray for us. And as you stand, I just want you to consider, if you're saying, Pastor, I would love for the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to become more of a priority in my life. If that resonates with you, I want you just to lift your hand right where you are. Yeah, me too. I want the Word of God to be significant in my life. Well, the Bible says in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought life or light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Talk about the Word of God, and that Jesus is the Word. And in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We're going to conclude today with a song called Firm Foundation, that Jesus is our firm foundation. That's where the strength comes from. That's where the power comes from. Jesus is the spoken Word of God. And so without further ado, I'm going to pray for us, and then Nate, you can lead us. Lord, we thank You for this morning, for the challenge to take Your Word serious, to hone it, to learn it, to read it till the pages fall out, and not only read it, but to store it in our minds, and then when necessary, and when more often than necessary, more often than we might think, we need to speak the Word of God, Your Word. And Lord, when we do, it's the foundation that we need in our lives. Lord, we thank You for this. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this out with gusto.
Lord, we're so thankful for this series and how You spoke through us through suiting up and the Word of God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we end this series, Lord, that we would walk out as the Gateway Church suited up, ready to take on really what the world brings us. And God, that You constantly challenge us, Lord, convict us of just being, getting more involved in the Word, and God, memorizing it and reading it and speaking it. And God, I pray, Lord, as we go today, Lord, that You'd go before us and You'd go all around us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Gateway Church. If you're joining us for Newcomers Lunch, that will be in the kids' room in just a few moments. If you're joining us for a water baptism class, it's going to be right here in the sanctuary, right up here up front in just a few moments as well. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you this Wednesday or next Sunday.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.